Mr. Masiolek.
Thank you. May it please the Court. I'm Mark Michalek, appointed counsel for Mr. Berry. Mr. Berry was very surprised at his revocation hearing when Judge Crabb referred to a $4,000 check that was not Mr. Berry's to deposit, and for finding that he had used forged and counterfeit instruments. And then this was a continuing pattern. The government, in its brief, tries to deflect the effect of the judge's comments, saying that the judge was merely discussing the underlying facts of his criminal conviction, and not the allegations, and not the basis for her sentence after the revocation.
But why should we treat a few references to forgery and counterfeiting during a colloquy with Mr. Berry as anything more than stray, harmless remarks? She seems to have simply been explaining to Mr. Berry that she didn't buy his claim that he was a changed man.
And she may not have bought his claim that he was a changed man, Your Honor. However, the violations that he admitted to and that avoided having any witnesses brought into the hearing were that he'd opened financial accounts without his agent's permission and that he'd associated with a felon.
Well, but when he stipulated to the violations to the petition to revoke his probation, was he also stipulating to the truth of the attachments, the supporting documents?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I do not think that the record reflects that. I think that he admitted that he had associated with a felon, which Judge Crabb did not mention whatsoever in her reasoning for the sentence, and that he had opened accounts without permission. I think that this is kind of like if you imagine a case where...
Counsel, my question is why anything the district judge said should matter. She wrote an opinion later which didn't refer to any of this. Suppose I were to say in oral argument something like, well, you know, your client was involved in sports betting, so he should go off to prison for a longer time. And I go back to my chambers and I discover he wasn't involved in sports betting, and we write an opinion that doesn't mention sports betting and relies on opening the checking accounts without authorization. Could you go to the Supreme Court and get our judgment reversed on account of remarks during oral argument that don't appear in our opinion?
I'm uncertain, Your Honor, but it seems to me that...
The answer is no. And now I'm trying to figure out why. The Supreme Court is going to look at our opinion, but it reviews judgments, not transcripts of oral argument. And if that's so, why should it be any different in the district court? If the district court doesn't write an opinion and lets the transcript stand as the explanation of reasons, then we've got to look at what she said. But if the district court writes an opinion, I would think we would look just at the opinion. What's wrong with that view?
Well, I think that Judge Crabb's opinion was intended more to set forth her findings of fact that supported the revocation. But this is, you know, the revocation proceedings are unusual in that they combine arraignment, trial, and sentencing all into one. And the opinion that Judge Crabb wrote really doesn't express any reasons for the sentence other than to protect the public. And
the reason is your client is incorrigible. he barely got out of prison before he started opening checking accounts and not reporting to his probation officer, and it wasn't just one. It was multiple checking accounts, and heaven forfend I should say a number that was wrong, lest you seek certiorari on that basis. But it was more than one, right? And usually judges will say something like, your client is incorrigible. He's going back to prison. Pretty much what this looked like.
I agree that's what she said, but it also seemed that the basis for
you
a
were
sentence,
appointed
which
to
is,
this case, right?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
You were appointed
right.
to this case.
Yes, Your Honor. I also represented
so
Mr. Chapter Berry.
So the check which he is paid will actually be a real one rather than a forgery.
Thank heavens.
Yes, I hope so, Your Honor. The government does make that argument that this case is similar to the Orozco-Vazquez case, that these are just stray comments. But it seems to me that they are, in fact, the basis for the judge's sentencing. She moved from findings of fact that support the revocation into saying, I think you're doing the same exact thing. It's just as if he were on probation or supervision for a drug case, and there was a condition that he was not allowed to possess prescription drugs without his agent's permission. and did so. And then the judge said, well, I think you're drug dealing again. Mr. Berry just wants to be sentenced based on the conduct that he admitted to and the accurate information. And you know, it seemed very unfair to him that the judge went beyond what was before her and came to these conclusions that I don't find any support for. And if we'd known at the time that this was going to be the basis for the judge's sentence, then it may very well be the case that we would have wanted witnesses to come in. Would he use the subpoena power to try to show that, you know, that the competing explanation that he was going through a divorce, that he's bad at financial management, were in fact the case, that this was not new criminal behavior. In fact, to try to deflect it somewhat, I got into contact with a detective in Minnesota who investigated the case, and he closed it as unfounded, saying he didn't think this was criminal conduct. If the judge had said, well, you know, I think, Mr. Berry, you're on supervised release, we have to be extra careful, and we don't trust you, and you know, I'm very concerned about this, I think you might have really done something criminal here instead, that would have been one thing. But to base the sentence almost entirely on the conclusion that the check was not his to deposit and that he had engaged in a continuing pattern of using forged and counterfeit instruments.
And women,
yes, Your Honor. If there's no more questions, I'll let the government.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, sir. I skipped through the facts. I think the facts are obvious in this particular case. It's the government's position that the defendant was sentenced based upon the facts. Judge Crabb, after the stipulation, after the defendant indicated he was stipulating the facts, she made specific findings, and she made findings directly off the petition. And then the defendant, after she made the findings, she asked the defendant whether or not he had anything to say, whether they wanted to say anything. And he asked for leniency. And I can remember her looking down at him, pausing, and then going into the statement that she made. And she simply...
And, you know, it does appear that he was engaged in conduct that resembled check kiting more than it resembled forgery or counterfeiting. I mean, is there anything in the record indicating additional forgery or counterfeiting while he was out on probation?
No, ma'am.
No.
If you look at her statement, though, what she says in the beginning is that, it's just there's nothing that we're going to be able to do to help you. And when comparing your old pattern of conduct with your old pattern of conduct with what you've done now, they're similar. And they are similar. It's part of the same pattern. They aren't forged instruments. This instrument was a return-to-maker instrument, but he's really doing the same thing. He's using financial instruments to take money from that it doesn't belong to him. And that's what she's in effect saying. And that's all she said. And then, again, when she was done with that, the written order outlines the findings of fact again. And she doesn't talk about forged instruments in the findings of fact. So I don't see any reason why this particular order should be sent back to the court. Are there any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Michalik?
Thank you, Your Honors. When the agent and the government prosecuted this revocation of supervised release, if they thought that there was criminal conduct, that should have been one of the allegations, and not just these Class C violations that they alleged. We didn't think that we needed to defend against the allegation that apparently the government is now arguing that these were criminal acts when they weren't the basis of the petition. And I don't have anything further unless there's some questions. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Michalik, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case and your assistance to the court as well as your client.
It's my pleasure.
The case is taken under advisement.